Blog Talk Radio.
Just give me a second here. Lord, O great and almighty God, we thank you that you have given us the Savior in whom we can become united and have peace on earth. May he, the Savior, work powerfully among us. May your spirit come into people's hearts so that they learn to acknowledge you as a leader and their God and rejoice in their lives and intend for eternal life. Bless us through your word and through all of the good you do for us. Constantly renew and strengthen us in faith and patience through the grace you send us. Remember all the peoples who should become yours in the name of Jesus Christ. May they all confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord in the honor of God the Father. We praise you for the promise you have given us of a wonderful new day to help for all. We praise you that you have created all people to recognize their true calling and their way to salvation. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's bring on Pastor Wanda. All right.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being the head of my life. I thank you, my brother. I thank you for every hearer. And welcome, women of God, daughters of the King. I apologize. I was a little late. There's a lot of things going on in the land. But we're going to get into the Word of God tonight. And if you have your Bibles, could you go to Romans 5:8-9? God loves you perfectly. Okay? That is kind of what I'm speaking on. And I'll be speaking on the Comforter tonight. All right. And Pastor Them already prayed it. Thank you, Pastor, for being there. Always, always. And Tony, my brothers in Christ, okay? Just give me a few minutes to take a deep breath. You just blow everything out and start calling on Jesus right now. We come into the presence. Before we start, I want to clear our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So today has been a good day, but we all go through things, and I just want you to say, just Jesus. He's in control. He's in control. You know, nothing catch God off control. Hold on, Pastor. I'm waiting on a pack of glasses to be brought in. My readers. I was sitting on the porch, basking in God's presence. And, okay. All right, God, love you perfectly. Amen. In Romans, today's scripture is, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than then have now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. And that's Romans 5:8-9. God is a God of forgiveness. He knows you perfectly and still loves you. Perfectly. We are slaves to the idea of someone seeing the flaws. They won't love us anymore. Well, while they may be true, humans' relationship, God is not like that. God is not like humans. God sees us imperfections, falling the flaws on Jesus on the cross. Our sins and our ugliness do not turn us off from him. In fact, to him, they are occasions that demonstrate his grace and forgiveness through the blood of his Son, who has removed all our sin effectively at Calvary. So don't be embarrassed about your flaws, mistakes, and imperfections. God knows your weakness better than you do, and he loves you just the way and the same. His word reminds us that Jesus is not someone we cannot sympathize with our weakness. Instead, Jesus was tempted to all points, yet without sin and blemish. And that's Hebrews 4:4-15. He understands every temptation, every trial that you are going through. He is not disappointing you, and he is not waiting for you to live up and to set all the do's and don'ts before his forgiveness and his love. The Bible says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by the blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Did you get that? When God loves you, that's right, when you were still sinners. Before even he knew you, he knew about you. He don't like the sin, but he loves the sinner. So I want to get that plain and clear. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. So Christ already died for you. He justified. That means he can brought you back in right standing. Right standing with God. That's the righteousness of Christ. Everything is in Christ. through Christ and for Christ. Amen. So, and through the blood, it cleanses you. I don't care what you're going through, ladies, today. Forgiven. I went in a store one day. I'm going to give you an example. And some things was trying to come up with my past. And I had been talking to God and just crying out to God. And sometimes you got to look at, if God said he forgave you, it's time to forgive yourself. Okay? So when I was in public, I get a receipt. It's the funniest thing. And I kept it for a long time. And the receipt said, forgiven. And it had all these zeros. Now, I looked, I said, let me go back in this line here. But it was for God wanting me to see. In the smallest aspect, God can give you a sign. And that is, I want you to understand, every day is a sign of blessing. He kept showing me forgiveness on a receipt. All debts been paid through Jesus Christ. So I looked, and I couldn't do them but cry. I got up and got ready to expound on the word of God. That thing said, that receipt, that thing, I went to the cashier. I said, let me ask y'all something. Do you accept forgiveness on your tape? It said, no, ma'am. Now, I just left out the line. It said, forgiven, 00, debt paid in full. That's all what it said, and I just come out of public. And they said, that was just for you, ma'am. One of the elders in there that was helping, it said, forgiven. So when you're forgiven, loved, and forgiven, Jesus has paid the ultimate price for you to be forgiven, healed, restored, restoration, redemption. That is called redemption. He have forgiven you. He didn't pay the ultimate. You've been bought with the highest price, and everything is beneath you. So if you're dealing with unforgiveness right now, it's been forgiven by Jesus. Now forgive yourself. Amen? So let's get into the word. All right. Okay. All right. Hold on. So, Pastor, how was your week? Pastor? Hello? Ladies, how was your week? If anybody want to call in, call in. Okay? All right. Comfort and consolation. That's what I would be in. If you're feeling lonely or anything, God said, I would not leave you an orphan. I will come to you. I was going to be on the comfort, but I have some things that I want to read. In the absence of Jesus Christ our Lord, disciples were like children deprived of a parent. During 3 years which we had been with them, he had solved all difficulty, borne all their burdens, and supplied their needs. Whenever a case was too hard or too heavy for them, they would take it to him. When their enemy nearly overcame them, Jesus came and rescued them and turned the tide of a battle. They were all happy and safe enough that the master was with them. He walked with them in the midst of the father, aimed a large family of children, making a whole household glad. But he was about to be taken from the shameful death and probably felt that they would be like little children deprived of their nature and beloved protector. Our Savior knows the fears that in our heart, and before they could he removes it by saying, you will not be left alone in the wild, barren world. Though I have may be absent in the flesh, I will be present with you in a more effective way. I will come to you in a superficial and a super spirituality and all that deprives, for my spiritual presence even more good than you could ever have had my bodily presence. Had I still continued in your midst, observe first that an evil adversary here, I will not leave you an orphan in the second place. A consolation is provided. I will come to you. I'm in John 14:18. I will not leave you an orphan. I will come to you. God gave through Jesus Christ. He gave us the comforter. Even when Jesus knows he was going to die, he left us a comforter. But he's still with the disciple. You have an excuse, man. I'm a little tired today, but I'm going to get through this today, but I know he's with me. An evil event Okay. Without the Lord and apart from the Holy Spirit, believers would be like an orphan, unhappy and desolate. Giving them what may, their loss cannot be recompensed. No numbers of lamps can make it in the sun's absence. Sun, as they may, it is still night. No circle of friends can compensate for the loss of a woman's husband without him, still a widow. Without Jesus, it's irrevertible that a believer would be an orphan. But Jesus has promised that he will not be so. He declares that we will have the one thing that cannot remove the death rate. I will come to you. Now, what makes one an orphan? Now, remember, an orphan is someone who's without a parent. Parents are dead. This itself is grief and sorrow. For the father can no longer love his children and protect them and provide for them as he once did. But we are not orphans in the sense, for our Lord is not dead. It is true that he died, for one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and the blood and water came from the wound, John 19:34. This was certain proof the foundation of life had been broken up. He died, certainly, but he did not die now. Do not go to the grave and seek him, the angel's voice. He is not here. He has risen in Matthew 28:6. He could not be held captive by the bondage of death. We do not worship a dead Christ, nor do we even think of him now as a corpse. Or it is good to think that Christ is living. He remains in real and true existence. He is no less alive because he died, but all more truly full of life because he has passed through the gates of grace and is now reigning forever. See then the bitter roots of the orphan sorrow is gone. For our Jesus is not dead. No museum, no enshrine, his ashes, no pyramid, no embalming, his body, no memorial records, that place of his permanent specter. He lives. The great Redeemer lives. What a joy and the blessing of assurance he have given. Now, if you got your Bibles, go to Luke 24:34. In the word of God, it says, we are not orphans, for the Lord has risen indeed. He did not leave us. I know this for example, I was with that mother, and I was with a mother at one time, but then my mother and my father I never met. And I have struggled in this area of being an orphan and not having a place, not fitting in. But when God said, you're not an orphan, I will come to you. And this what he have came to me, and I have a family, a spiritual family, but I have a father, and I call him Abba. And there's some more sorrow and grief. And there's a process, ladies. If you didn't lost a loved one or family members or anything, Jesus have come to you. And it's a daily process. And not left alone. You're not left alone. You're not comfortless, okay? One of the greatest sorrow that an orphan has to spring out of death of his parent is that he's left alone. He cannot now make appeal to the wisdom of the parent who could not direct him. He cannot run where the weary or to climb the father's knees as he once did. He can't lean his aching head against his parent's chest. He might say, but no voice to answer. Mother, he may cry, but there is no final title. Which was awakened, the mother, if she was sleeping, cannot arouse her from the bed of death. The child is alone, far from those who true heart, that they may be best companions. The parents are gone. Such little ones know what it means to be deserted and forsaken. Well, we are not so. We are not orphan. It is true. Jesus is not here in the body. But a spiritual presence is quite as blessing as his body present would have been. Actually, it is better for the body of Jesus Christ were here in person. We could not all come and touch the hem of his garment, not at once, at that rate. There might be thousands waiting all over the world to speak to him, but how could they all reach him if he were merely here in the body? Everyone might be willing and waiting to tell him something about the body he could have received one or two or three times. But there is no need for you to say one word. Jesus hears your thoughts and attends to all your needs in the same manner. There is no need to press to reach him. Crowd is too large, for he is near to me. He is to you and near to you who all believes in all of the world. He's omnipotent and omnipresent. He is to you and near to you and believers all over the world. He is present everywhere. The beloved may talk with him. You can tell him at the moment of sorrow that you or dare not open up to anyone. In declaring them to him, you will feel that you can hardly breathe the air before him. He has heard you. He is a real person. One so real that one that is so real as it could grip his hand and see the loving sparkle in his eye and sympathetic look on his countenance. Is it that the way with you? You know that you have a friend who sits closer than a brother. That's Proverbs 18:24. You have a near one, a dear one. You are not an orphan. You have a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that's in Isaiah 9:6. Is with you. Your Lord is here, and he comforts you as a mother comforts the children. And we're going to take a break right there, and I want you to meditate on that. And we have much more of learning by comfort and consolation in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. All righty. Well, let's play some music.
Amen, Pastor.
When Moses with Israel came to the Red Sea, Yahweh said, "Have courage and leave it to me. Well, I will not forsake you. I'm going to hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrenders at the master's command. Well, just trust in Yahweh and let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. In this life before us, many trials we face. You know we're tested and tempted to give up this race. But then I hear Yahshua whisper, let me hold to your hand. For there's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrendered at the master's command. Just trust in Yahweh and let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over Master's command. Just trust in Yahweh, and let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
all right. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to talk about no, not without provision. Okay. The orphans who has lost the hand that always took care of them and provided food, clothes, and comfortable home. Poor, feeble ones who will provide for his needs. His parents are gone. Who will take care of this little wanderer now? But it's not so with us. Jesus has no, Jesus has not left us an orphan. He cares for his people. There's no lesson now. When he sat at the table with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, instead of the provision being less, they are even greater. Since the Holy Spirit has been given to us, we have the richest fare and more indulgent with spirituality, comfort than a believer with the master's body formed departed. Is your soul hungry? Jesus, give us bread from heaven. Your soul thirsty? The water from the rock does not cease to flow. Come to Jesus and make your needs, your burdens, knowing that to know him. You have only to make your needs known to him, have them all to be supplied. Christ waits for the gracious to give us. He stands with us in golden hands, open to supply the needs of every living soul. Oh, yet the Lord thinks upon us in Psalm 14:17. Another said, I have asked the Lord 3 times to be taken away the thorn in the flesh, that is Paul. That's in 2 Corinthians 12:7 from me. Remember what he had said to Paul. My grace is sufficient in verse 9. You are not left alone without strength you need. The Lord is still your shepherd. He provides for you until he leads you through the death dark valley and brings you to the shining pasture upon the hilltop of glory. You are not destitute. You do not need to compromise with the world by bowing to its demand or trusting in its vanity promise, for Jesus will never leave you or forsaken you in Hebrews 13:5. Not without approval instruction. The orphan too is left without instruction. This is the most suitable for a child. We may say that we will. Come on, Holy Spirit, what we will, but there is no one who's the fitting form of a child character as a parent. It is the very loss of a child to have either father or mother from the most skillful teacher. He may do much, can harm, and make up many ways the parent's love can mold the mind. But, dear friend, we're not orphans. We who believe in Jesus are not left without an educator. Jesus is not him himself. It is true. I imagine some of you wish you can go to church on Sunday and listen to him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to look up in the pulpit and see the crucified one and hear him preach? All so you think of the apostle said, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we will know him thus no longer, in 2 Corinthians 5:16. It is profound that we should receive the spirit of truth, not through the golden vessel of Christ and actually present, but through the poor earthly vessel of humble servants of God. At any rate, whether a preacher speak or an angel from heaven speak, the speaker does not matter. It is the spirit of God alone who is the power of the word, and who makes the word vital and life-giving to you. Now you have the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is given so that you may understand every truth of the Scripture. You may be led in the deepest mystery by the teaching. You may be enabled to know the comprehend those things of the Word of God that may puzzle you for a long time. When you humble yourself and look to Jesus, his Spirit will teach you, even if you scarcely read the Word of the Bible. you would be better instructed than a doctor, divinity, and went through the Holy Spirit and being taught by him the things of God. Those who go through only the book and the letters of the law and who are taught by men are foolish in the sight of God. But those who go to Jesus and sit at the feet to be taught by the Spirit is the wise for salvation, and that's 2 Timothy 3:15. Blessed be the God. We are not left as an orphan. We have the instructor with us. We have the greater one to live and dwell inside us, to teach us, guide us, lead us. Amen. No lack of defense. So I'm speaking and I'm reading what God has given me today. Amen. And it's all the word of God. It's all the word of God. It tells to comfort you. So some are going without. They lost their husband. They lost parents. I went through that today. Sister in Christ, God bless her. And I'm praying for many that lost loved ones. I've seen many parents went home to glory, and the children are still left here. And some children passed, and their parents are still here. And I'm one. Lost parents as well as children. And I understand, but I can talk on anything that God have given me because I have endured. And when I look back at it, and God said this little suffering does not compare to the glory that God prepares, and he wants you to be able to understand that he's with you in all that you have went through. You lost a loved one, and it's a hurtful thing, but each and every day, it gets even easier when you take it to Jesus. You get to go, keep going to Jesus. I need you. You call upon him. He's a faithful and a just God, and he answers. It's everything you need in the word of God, okay? You have everything you need in the word. Jesus has bared everything that we go through. So not lacking of a defender, okay? I'm still on about an orphan. It's a lot. And I will be speaking, and then I'll go on the next break, okay? There's one point in which the orphan is often sought to remind the orphanhood name and lack of a defender. It is so natural in a little child when some big bully harass them to say, I tell my father. How often do we hear little ones say that? I tell my mother. Sometimes not been able to do so much greater loss than we guess. Cruelty thieves might come and snatch away from an orphan, the little that the father loved have left behind in the courts of law. There had been no defender to protect the orphan up in their possession. Had the father been there, the child would have been had his right. But in the absence of the father, the orphan is eaten up like bread, and the wicked of the earth devour his possession. In the same sense, believers are not orphans. The devil would rob us from our inheritance if he could. But there's an advocate with the Father, that's 1 John 2:11, who pleads for us. Satan would snatch from us every promise, every tear from us, all the comfort and the covenant, but we are not orphaned. When the enemy brings up a suit against us and think that he's able the only defense in the case, he is mistaken, for we have an advocate on high. Christ comes and pleads as for the sinner, friends for us, and when he pleads at the bar of justice, there's no fear that he pleads whether infectedly or that our inheritance is not safe. He has not left us an orphan. You who love the master, you are not left alone in this world. Even if you have no earthly friend, if you have no one to whom you can be taken care of, if you are quietly alone, Jesus is with you. He's really with you. With you in practice way, able to help you and ready to do so, for have a good and kind protector close to us and the present in Christ. He has said, I will not leave you an orphan. Amen. Consolation and providing. I will come. The second comment I wish to make on this text is that to provide consolation for us. Not one or are we saved from being without the Father, but Lord Jesus Christ said, I will come. Come to us in spirit, okay? Let's go to John 14:6. Let's go to John 14:7. Let's go to John. And I want you to see what Jesus said in the New Testament. Okay. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit lead, man, God, man, because a lot of things are going on, and this is what he gave me. Oh, wow. So John 14. All right. When you get there, amen. Jesus is the way to the Father, okay? Do not to let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If there were not so, I would have not told you. For I am going to prepare a place for you. Whenever everything is ready, I will come to you, so that you will always be with me and where I am, and you will know the way to where I am. No, we don't know, Jesus. No, Lord, Thomas said, we have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Verse 9, Jesus said, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show you him? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak are not my own, but the Father who lives in me and does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the works I have done. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same work I have done, an even greater work, because I am going to the Father. You can ask him for anything in my name, and I will do so. Do it. So the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Amen? So God does not want your heart to be troubled. He tried to tell him, I'm doing it as my Father. I look just like my Father. It's just like you're not an orphan. Father, in Genesis 1:26-1, we are made in the image of our Almighty God. If you have lost a mother or father or lost a child, you can go to the conference. So let's go to the Holy Spirit that has been promised to us. All right. Amen?
Yes.
We're going on. We're still in John 14. We're going to be in 15. Okay? And thank you, Father God. If you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. The advocate is the paraclete, the aid, the Holy Spirit, the comforter. Jesus is still here, and he's letting them know this is what's going to be left through the Father. The promise is all through God, through Jesus, and what will be left here when Jesus goes to the cross at Calvary. Amen? Who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth, not some truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and does not recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now and later will be with you. No, I will not abandon you. Here we go. Pay attention. I will not abandon you as an orphan. I will come to you. Amen? So he's going to let them know he's going to die. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. If he died, we die, spiritual. And we have to, natural as well as spiritual, okay? You have to die to yourself to have the things of God. So when I was telling a person, I can't get like being reborn again. I don't know what you're talking about. To have what God has given you, it is all spiritual. It is not the natural. See, like the things of the world, we have to die to the things of the world to have the things of a living God, a spiritual. Amen? Amen, Pastor?
Amen.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Jesus come to us by the Spirit. Now, I just showed you what Jesus said. Whatever you ask, you know, because I ask God for certain things. I ask for the mysteries of God. I had to ask for the heart of God. To do the things, because I had to and I'm gonna bring a testimony, and I plead the blood of Jesus over every hearer. I had to see my mother get killed, so I had to go through a lot of suffering. I had to go through a lot of torment, pain, and until I cried out to Jesus. Now, don't think they wanted me to talk to a psychiatrist. They wanted me to talk to this person. They wanted me to talk to that. But when I talked to Jesus, I said, I can't do this. I can't. I can't handle this. And you know how when they say, you got to forgive, you got to forgive. It's easy to say, but when only the Lord can show you and teach you on forgiveness of when you didn't see this and God sent that person back to you in your physical and natural face, okay? So I had to ask God, give me a heart just like him to be able to love and to forgive. He did it. It's a process, lady, and it hurt. I was on the ground for, I can't even tell you how many days, but it was a good thing because I can feed my enemies. I can do what God can say it because I'm not doing it. It's the Holy Spirit that does it because he's the enabler. The enabler helps you to overcome certain things that you cannot. Dealing with, this is another subject, I don't want to get in that tonight, on certain things that was brought to you as a child or as you've grown. It is a process. A lot of people say, oh, I did this. You just can't tell somebody. Oh, it happened like this for me. Everybody is different. You don't know the hurt, the scars. We got to take a lot of things to Jesus, and you got to pray on. I had to write things out. I had to talk to God. But through knowing Jesus said, if you got to forgive, you got to love. That is command. So each and every day, it got easier and easier. I still cried, though, but it still was pricking the heart. But out of all that suffering, I can give God glory and give a testimony. God brought me through that. I didn't, not the doctors, not the lawyers, not the embalming people, not my friends. I was alone handling a lot of things, but I wasn't handling it. It was God that handles everything through the Holy Spirit. So when I received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he showed me and taught me through the Word. So I had to ask, just like he said, ask anything in my name. I asked him to heal me. I asked him, I need you to deliver me. Show me how to love because I hadn't seen love. I seen hurt, pain, death. I seen so much. But when I talked it to the Lord and he came and wrapped his holy arms around me, it's spiritual now, ladies. You can't figure this out. He wrapped his holy arms and he comforted me. And I cried. And I felt the presence of the Almighty God. Jesus, the Son of God, I felt him, and he comforted me, and I felt things lifted, and I could talk about it. And today now I can talk about it without crying, without going into a pity party. I can speak about I am not an orphan. I'm not fatherless. So now God sends me to be able to help the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows. And I said, Lord, I sat with an orphan, I was with widows, but I had to endure some things to be able to be affected for God's glory to speak today. Just like when I talked to my brother, Pastor Kaxin, I had to talk to him, and God placed him in my life through the hardship and hurt, okay? And I never called him and, let me tell you that. No, I had to talk to him. He ministered to me. So God will place people in your life. I gave him the testimony, and he talked it with me. He didn't beat the word of God in my head. He didn't tell me, oh, this, oh, you just lost somebody. Now, I've talked to many people, and you had something to do with that. But listen to me. Children don't have the common sense of grown-ups, okay? So I'm got a little smarts up, but listen. You know, I heard a person tell a child one day, oh, you brought that on yourself. No. Children does not, let me how you want me to say it, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. I had to deal with a child and to protect the child so it wouldn't be raped, okay? And had to help another child on something different, and a person tried to act like they put themselves in that position, and I had to step up and speak on behalf of a child. That child don't have a parent, so nobody's there to protect them. So God will send somebody else to protect them down here in this earth. I know God, he's the protector, but he places us to be able to, with the orphans, the widows. The widows, they hurt, they lost everybody. And a person jumped on by the child, the widow trying to raise a baby, and she's 80, 90 years old. Okay, so God had me to step in there and say, no, this is not going to happen like this. This is not going to happen like this. That child didn't put herself in there, and the widow can't hardly defend her, but she's trying her best. And that's why we got to speak up for the ones that can't speak for themselves. That's what God, and when you're not orphan, you're not an orphan, you're not fatherless. So God, if you that's your father, you're going to protect. That's still your neighbor as well. That's another child. You can be the father to the fatherless, mother to the motherless. So I seen a motherless child, a fatherless child. So then God will place somebody else. And so he had me just like now with my neighbors. You have to speak up for somebody else. You got to be that vocal box for Jesus to speak up for somebody else. Because that child can't speak for themselves. They don't know what's going on. Just like dealing with the anti-sex trafficking, God have us speaking on these things, domestic violence. Or it's a whole bunch, and some of them have never seen their parents, okay, in different countries. Some have lost their parents to AIDS or anything like that, and there's nobody to speak on behalf of them. So we got to speak up for the ones that orphans, widow, fatherless, motherless, amen? Okay, let's take a break, Pastor.
All right. So we'll play a song here. Yeah, all right, here we go.
Hey, Dominique.
I am found.
Okay, Pastor Wanda. Pastor Wanda.
Yes, praise the Lord. The phone not to mute out. We have a great God, and he loves us out of all the things we go through, and it's to give him glory. If you look at the book of Ruth, we'll get into that next week. And Ruth was without a mother and father as well, but she become a queen to save a whole nation. And you don't know the call that's on your life, that God is calling you. God is calling you out of anything that you have been through, and for to get glory. If you're an orphan, was an orphan, you're not an orphan now, you're not a widow or anything, you're a child of a king, a daughter of a king. So I would like to do an altar call. If the word have ministered you, and if you have been going through anything, you can cast your burdens upon the Lord. He cares for you in 1 Peter. Pastor, would you lead them into an altar call, please?
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, we'll
you all right, Pastor?
Right now. Okay. Well, the greatest thing you can do is to love the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him into your life. So we're going to do this altar call now, okay? And I hope that that you ask Jesus Christ into your life, okay, if you haven't done so already. Say this simple prayer after me. Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation, and I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And I just, Pastor, I'm going to probably have to get off a little early. I got some people in the hospital. One of my sisters in Christ, all of them calling me, you know. It's not,
okay.
Wait a minute, no, it's a kingdom call because they just lost a parent. And some more people lost, some people calling from prison. And, you know, he has me on a lot of areas, and I'm not going to – I had to get on tonight and to speak on this. And, you know, ladies, I want you to pray for your neighbors and you pray for your sister, pray for your family. God is trying to bring unity, love. He's trying to restore families. You know, if you got an alt with anybody, with your parents or – not going to see your parents, not speaking to your parents. God is warning you. He said, honor thy mother and father. If you have parents still living, you have a chance because one day you will be that same age and you got to be that example. And if you're an orphan, you're not an orphan anymore. Jesus loves you. Go visit and help someone that don't have someone, okay? And God will show you. He's been dealing with me with a lot of elders that sit alone, and they have outlived all their children. And that's one of the hurtful things that no one even speak to them or say anything. I want you to start praying for the orphans, the land, what's going on there in the United States, because a lot of parents are leaving their children, and a lot of children are leaving their parents. And this is one of the it's a hurtful thing, but, you know, all have to see the master, but we still down here on this earth, and we still can do an impact and a revival of calling the things of God in your life as well as in your children to sit down and talk with your kids. And I want to say something on the radio tonight. Speak life over everyone. Speak life. It don't matter what didn't happen. I want you to speak life over your kids, over your neighbors, even if you got alt with them. I need for you to sit down and pray on things and then ask God to show you how to get it right in the eyesight of him and with whoever offended you, and ask for forgiveness from them. I'm not telling you it's a command, and, you know, that hurts God. And he wants a family, as always, but he wants a relationship. Amen? So go see about somebody else. You might see somebody on the streets or wherever you stay. And you might, you know, in the pandemic, make sure you wear your mask, be safe, wash your hands, and pray on all situations. But give thanks in all supplication. That's in 1 Thessalonians. I will be back on next week. I apologize. Some things going on in the spirit realm. I got to pray for the ones in prison, the ones. It's a whole bunch. I can't go all into detail, but it's a lot. It's a great need. You are needed, women of God, daughters of the King. And pastor, he deals with it. And, you know, you pray for the pastor. Don't put your pastors on a pedestal. You pray for them because they are just messengers. We are God's messengers to bring forth the word of God to impart knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Give God the glory. Give God the glory out of your life. No matter what's going on, sit down and say, Lord, what is the great need? Whatever breaks your heart, God, it's going to break yours in Jesus' name. You be blessed, and I love you, and say, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen? And thank
Amen.
You, God, for the reading of the word. Sorry about this, Pastor. I got to get off, okay? So
That's
I got,
okay,
you know, I got,
what you got to do.
But I, yes, sir,
God
going to pray some more worship. God bless you. Call me in an hour, Pastor, because I need to
okay.
speak with you on some things. All right. God bless you. Love you. Jesus love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. We'll bring, take a caller here. Okay. One on one. Okay. No, it was nobody. Okay. Well, anyway, let's play some music here.
I'm giving you baptized, you baby's one. Thank you.
like those songs. Well, we're going to end this program with a prayer. Okay? And I hope you all enjoyed it. Okay? Lord God Almighty, bring in the day of Jesus Christ, through whom we shall be united, Lord. And we shall recognize each other as fellow citizens, as brothers and sisters, and we shall have peace on earth, Lord. Give your spirit anew, O Lord God, free and enlighten every heart so that each person can acknowledge the word you have given and hold fast to your promises, Lord, even in dark, troubled times, Lord. Be with us. Be with our people. Help us in our times, O Lord God. We wait for you. We await your peace, a new peace, not the old peace, not a return to comfort and selfish desires, but your peace, which shall bring us into the life of heaven, where we find Jesus Christ, the living one, our shepherd and leader. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So everybody, God bless. Have a great evening. Okay? Thanks for tuning in. Okay. Have a blessed one. And no, this is not pre-recorded. Okay. Term McGillicuddy. Okay. Okay. It's just Bob. Okay. Day. The 9th of Bob. Okay. Okay. So, and it's 9:14 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7/29/2020. Okay, so God bless you all. Have a great day.